Good morning. Trust everyone's well. To be honest, there seems like a little bit more people here than I thought there would be, considering the year that we're in, the end of the year. I trust everyone's had a blessed Christmas. Hope that you guys were able to relax and unwind. It's nice to switch off a bit. This morning, we find ourselves in the last day of 2023, and I know that tomorrow will be the first day of 2024, and with that, I know that many, this may mean a fresh start or a new beginning. And I'm not sure if any of you have given much thought to any New Year's resolutions resolutions yet. Oh, sorry. The kids can go out with Auntie Renee at the back if there's any kids that want to go through. So as I was saying, I'm not sure if any of you have given any thought to any New Year's resolutions for the new year. If I'm completely honest, it's never kind of been something on my to-do list. You know, I've never come to the end of the year and thought, you know what, I need to make some new resolutions. However, that being said, I would think it a little unnatural in getting to the end of the year and not having given some thought to at least what's gone on this past year, and maybe some thoughts to what's possibly going to come in the new year, in 2024. And for those of you who haven't given much thought about any resolutions for the new year, I'm here to help. I've got some for you. I managed to do a bit of research, and USA Today posted the top 2020 resolutions for 2023-2024, top eight. I'll give them from number eight, working backwards. So, number eight, reduce spending on living expenses. You can put your hand up if that's you. No, I'm just teasing. Reduce stress on the job. Spend less time on social media. Spend more time with families and friends. Save more money. Lose weight. Eat healthier. Who can guess the last one? Any takers? Last one. Exercise more. That's probably the go-to every year. Yeah, it's a little bit mind-blowing when you see this list, but it's mind-blowing probably in my way for the Christian. You see, if this list comprises of the greatest concerns going into 2024, I'm slightly concerned. Please don't misunderstand me. These items in themselves are not bad at all. It would probably be good for me to probably follow a few of them for the new year. However, I believe that they shouldn't be our primary focus. And if you have your Bibles, please turn with me to Matthew 6, 24 to 33. I'm not going to read the whole text. The whole text is not necessarily my focus this morning. But I am going to zero in on something that has caught my attention, and that is specifically Matthew 6, 33. Isabel has already read the text, so I'll go through just Matthew 6:33 itself. But in my preparation for this morning, I've got thinking of the year we're about to leave and the new year that we're about to enter. And this verse stuck out for me boldly. And as children of God, I think it's imperative that this verse is at the top of our New Year's resolution list. And maybe scrap that. This verse should probably be at the top of our life resolution list. Matthew 6:33, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Before I get into unpacking this verse a bit more, we do need to understand a little bit of the context behind it. This can be understood as a positive command given to us, followed by a promise, which we'll get into a little bit later. But what's interesting is Matthew speaks about the kingdom 53 times in his entire gospel, which is only 28 chapters long. And if you go and read through his gospel, you will find that whenever he speaks of the kingdom, he always refers to it as the kingdom of heaven. Where Luke mentions the kingdom 44 times, yet his reference is always the kingdom of God. We must not be confused by this. They're one and the same thing. There is something incredibly profound about this idea of seeking the kingdom and his righteousness. And I believe this command is placed so strategically within the text to wake us up to the reality of the truth behind it. And if you understand fully what it means to seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness, or if you want to understand fully what it means to seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness, I challenge you to go and read Matthew's entire gospel. To circle and underline every single time he mentions the kingdom or the kingdom of heaven. And in this particular section, we find this promise between chapters 5 and 7, which is most popularly known as the Sermon on the Mount, given to us by our Lord Jesus. And it indicates to us how we as Christians ought to live in the kingdom. And I don't believe we have time to unpack this text of what it means to seek the kingdom and his righteousness in its entirety this morning. But I do want to touch on what I believe should be our general focus for us as believers. Because when we do, the scripture is telling us that it will set us free from the anxiety that plagues us living in a broken world. The anxiety that traps us from being able to live in the freedom that comes from being children of God. The anxiety that prevents us from stepping out in faith for the things of Christ. The anxiety that causes us to try to control every little inch of our lives in the hopes that we may gain more life, when in fact it's the very thing that stops us from truly living. Matthew 6:33, "But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness." We are told in this verse to seek, to look for, to require, or to demand. There is a clear intention to what we are required to do, and it needs to come in a particular order. God's kingdom and his righteousness is not number 9 or 10 on our resolution list. It's number 1. It needs to be the center, not only on a list, but the center of our lives. In everything we do, we are to seek the kingdom and his righteousness. The first question I have for us today, looking back on the year we've just had, is has God been the center of your life for 2023? Do you seek God's kingdom and his righteousness as a man or woman of God? Is he the center of the way you work? Is he the center of the way you spend your money? Is he the center of your relationships with your family and your friends? With the way you run your businesses? In everything we do, we are called to seek the kingdom and his righteousness first. So the next obvious question that comes to mind is, what does this exactly mean? Yes, we are meant to look for the kingdom and his righteousness, but what does that mean? What are we looking for? And this was my struggle in my preparation for this morning. I grappled with this because I was worried. Sorry. I grappled with this because I missed seeing the beauty that connects me to want to look for the kingdom and his righteousness in all that I do. Ames and I managed to get away for 3 days, and I ended up in bed with a migraine because I was worried that I wasn't going to have a sermon for you. Even though I had written 4, all of them saying the same thing in a different way, yet saying nothing at all. And don't get me wrong, I understand a lot of the deep truths of Scripture. I understand that Jesus came down. I understand that Jesus has died on a cross for my sins, and I've made a decision to follow him. I understand this text that it gives us a promise that if we are part of the kingdom of God, we are promised that he will provide all our needs. But because I know those truths, I also know that the kingdom, the king of the kingdom we are called to seek, died on a cross for you and I. I also know that the king of the kingdom went hungry. I also know the king of the kingdom at times didn't have a place to lay his head. I also know the king of the kingdom had no clothes when he hung on a cross for your sins and mine. I also know that if we want to be part of the kingdom, we are called to pick up our cross. Matthew 16:24, Jesus turns to his disciples, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross and follow. You see, it's because I know these truths, I know that seeking the kingdom and his righteousness is hard. But you see, despite this, despite the fact that it's hard, friends, I want to look for the kingdom and his righteousness in all that I do. Despite the fact that it is hard, friends, I want us to want to make the kingdom and his righteousness the center of our lives. I wish I had listened in my high school English class when I was in high school. It probably would have saved me a lot of time in my preparation. There's an incredibly important word, which is what I believe brings us to the heart of this text. And this, I believe, is what I had missed. If you read the verse again, it reads like this: but seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. That word but is what clever people call a conjunction of contrast. But seek first the kingdom and his righteousness. What it does is it contrasts two different ideas. You can also use the word instead of or rather. What it is basically telling us is this, that we have two options. The one that brings us fear, anxiety, and worry, or the other that brings us peace, provision, peace, and joy. When we are being told about this text, when Isabel read this text, we have the one option, which is the option about following the world. We can ask ourselves, how's that going for you? How much anxiety and worry are you feeling in this world? But then Jesus points us to another direction. He says, but seek my kingdom. Seek his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Isn't this the entire story of Scripture? Right from the very beginning, where we were at peace with God, yet we made the choice to go on our own. We had with us God's blessing, his provision, and his protection in the Garden of Eden. All we had to do was be obedient. We decided to do things on our own, and all of a sudden we feel shame for the first time in history. And so begins the story of our lives. Generation after generation, all of a sudden, feel the need to protect themselves, protect their money, protect their people, protect their stuff. Because we're scared and anxious, we won't have enough. In our fears, we develop insurances, and insurances for our insurances, and policies for our policies. And all of a sudden, we have these huge wars up around ourselves. Loving your neighbor goes out the window because you can't even see your neighbor anymore. And then God decides to make a plan. He chooses a nation to set the example for the others of what it means to be a part of the kingdom. Be obedient. Follow me. Make me Lord of your life. Seek me. And you have his blessing, his provision and care. Step outside of the blessing and you worry and fear like the rest of the world. The whole Old Testament is a story after story after story of the same truth. And then in steps Jesus, the king of the kingdom, who turns our thinking on its head by truly living what it means to seek the kingdom, by truly living a life that seeks righteousness. This is not a kingdom that has high walls or protection plans. This is not a kingdom that builds treasures on earth. This kingdom operates contrary to our human way of thinking. Our thinking that it says it's all about me. It's all about my wants and what I need. No, the kingdom of thinking, the kingdom says it's all about God. This kingdom says it's all about God. Friends, I want to seek God's kingdom and his righteousness because I've come to understand that my plan, like the plans of this world, do not work. The evidence has shown. We have had over 4,000 years of practice, yet we still live in a broken and hurting world. We still sin and fall short of the glory of God. Let us not miss this beauty. Church, please let us not miss this contrast today. Let us not miss the options that are laid before us in this text. It is like going to a doctor because you have a life-threatening illness. And he says to you, I have a pill that can help. It might make you feel horrible for a little bit. But in the end, you will live and you will be well. And the other option is don't take the pill. You'll probably still feel horrible along the way, and in the end you die. What will you do? You choose to take the pill. You choose to seek his kingdom and his righteousness. You choose to surrender your lives to the King of the kingdom, and his name is Jesus Christ. So now that being said, what does it mean to look for the kingdom and his righteousness? And I believe a good summary to this is found in Scripture, is explained in the way we pray. And I would like to just mention three things. Matthew 6, 9 and 10, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. In seeking his kingdom and his righteousness, I believe in everything we do, we seek to hallow his name. 1 Corinthians 10, 31, So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. Number one, glorifying God is our calling as his people. In the Lord's Prayer, the focus is on God and his name. It sets the order of priority. First thing we are called to do is glorify God. This needs to be the perspective of those who seek the kingdom of God. I ask the question, have we acted in a way that displays God's glory to the world this past year? What might we change going into the new year? In seeking his kingdom and his righteousness, I believe in everything we do, we must seek to bring heaven on earth. Matthew 1, 23, The virgin will be with child and you will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. When people see Jesus, we bring heaven on earth. You see, it is our responsibility as God's people to bring people to Christ. This is the Great Commission. They won't see him if there's walls around us or around our lives. The walls need to be pulled down this year that you can show Jesus to your neighbor. That you can show Jesus to those you care about. That you can show Jesus to the world. Speaking about Jesus doesn't happen within these four walls. Our calling is to go out and shine for him. And we bring heaven on earth. This means that you might have to first be the first one to apologize in a broken relationship, whether it's your fault or not. This might mean that you may have to step out of your comfort zone and actually reach out to someone. This might mean that you need to stop holding on to the things of this world and trust that Jesus will provide all your needs. And then lastly, in seeking his kingdom and his righteousness, I believe in everything we do, we must seek his will to be done. Matthew 5:20, for I tell you that unless your righteousness surpasses that of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. Jesus came down to show us that through him we can live righteous lives. Obedience to his truth is his will for our lives. 1 Peter 1:15-16, but just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. Seeking his kingdom and his righteousness means we are to seek to be holy as he is holy. Where in your lives may God be calling you to flee from sin and walk in righteousness this year or the year to come? This could mean ending an unhealthy relationship. This could just mean to be stop being lazy. This could mean to just simply be turn off your TV. Watch what you take in. You see, first seek his kingdom and his righteousness. When we seek his kingdom and his righteousness, real living takes place. When we seek his kingdom and his righteousness, real living takes place. When we seek his kingdom and his righteousness, in a little church in Antioch, 3,000 people came to know the saving work of Christ in one day. When we seek his kingdom and his righteousness, widows and orphans are provided for and looked after, and so the Salvation Army is born. When we seek his kingdom and his righteousness, darkness is brought into the light and apartheid ends. When we seek his kingdom and his righteousness, we find Jesus. That he is the one who will enable us to seek his kingdom and his righteousness. And then he is the one that will provide all we need to do it. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, come before you now, and we want to thank you so much for your word. That, Lord, your word tells us that you were the one that brought a different option. You were the one that made a way, Father, to give us true life, Lord, to show us what it means to truly live. And I want to praise you and thank you for that. And Lord, we come before you at the last day of a year, thinking about everything that has happened. And Lord, I pray, Father God, where we have dishonored you, where we have not sought your face, where we have not sought to seek your kingdom and your righteousness in our lives, I pray that you may reveal that to us and convict that of us. That, Father God, we may turn and look to you from this point on. My prayer, Father God, is that going into a new year, that, Lord, we may live in the freedom of knowing that we are forgiven by the blood of Christ. And that even though life may be hard at times, we know that because of you, you will give us all we need to accomplish your will and purpose. You will give us all we need to seek your kingdom and your righteousness. You will give us all we need to accomplish your purpose in this world of making your name known, of bringing heaven on earth, Lord, and that your will be done. So I pray for this church, Lord. I pray for each and every one of us here that you may be the number one in our lives, that you may be the center of all that we say and do, that it may be for your ultimate glory and the furtherance of your kingdom In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Let's stand and sing the song in closing as we commit ourselves to this word.